Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have one of my favorite guests, somebody who I respect highly and who spends the time to do things that most of us don't, which is to do your research and do your due diligence and ask questions and mostly find the answer yourself instead of being spoon-fed by somebody who says they have your best interest at heart. We're speaking with the Common Core diva, Ms. Lynn Taylor. I want to discuss an article that she wrote. It's about the infrastructure bill. That's one thing that I think people have no idea. It's back and forth. I don't even know now if it's been passed or not, but I know they would love to pass it. As with everything in Congress, the title of the bill has nothing to do with what it actually means. And that's what Ms. Taylor is going to speak to us today about. What does infrastructure really mean? And is the federal government becoming more intrusive? And how are they getting away with this? So Lynn, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Elena. And it's wonderful to be back with you.
You know, every time you come on, it's an education for me. I feel like first of all, you teach me what I don't know. I don't think I'm alone in this. It's like a locked box. Nobody follows and reads these ridiculously long bills. The last one I read was Obamacare, and it gave me a headache.
Right.
And now that we have this new administration, they are really bent on power and control. In healthcare, we're seeing it in a big way where it's just been taken over by algorithms and corporatism. And last time you were on the show, you really opened my eyes to the fact that the education system is basically no different. It seems like they're going like a template through every single specialty and things that people do for a living, and they're taking them over. So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, right.
So I want you to give us the spiel. What is this HR 3684, this supposed infrastructure bill?
Well, supposedly, Dr. Elena, it is an investment in America. Where have we heard that before? And how many administrations have we heard that from? Because, you know, the former one was big on that as well. You know, there were some pretty big omnibus bills during the Trump administration as well. But, you know, we need to understand this is not a Republican problem. This is not a Democratic problem. This is a we the people problem, because one of the ways that DC has gotten away with so much of this is because we the people have allowed it. We the people have allowed Congress to pass bills they have not read. We saw this happen with the Every Student Succeeds Act. We saw this happen with Obamacare, as you previously mentioned. We have seen this with this infrastructure bill. I mean, good gracious, these senators and representatives are supposed to represent their state, their district, not America as a whole. But what they've done is shift away from their constituents to the corporate lobbyists and the special interest groups, which are by and large running this nation, and they're using the politicians at every level as their puppets.
I couldn't have said it better. My mantra, it still remains, follow the money. Mm-hmm. And who stands to gain? So you just mentioned corporate interests. What organizations stand to gain in this bill?
Basically, your public-private partnerships, which we know in previous discussions, we have brought up that is fascism 101, because that is not an American way of doing business. We also know that our unions, big insurance, big pharma, big tech, these are the organizations that are standing to gain the most. And let's look at the title of this HR 3684. Okay. No, it has not passed the president's desk just yet. It has passed the House. It has passed the Senate. And there was so much that both chambers wanted to iron out that it is still in what they call, they're trying to settle their differences, if you will. And so before the president can sign this whopper, that's what's going on. So yeah, it's almost at his desk, but not quite. But the name of the bill is the Infrastructure and Investing in Jobs Act of 2021. Now, mainstream media is reporting a price tag of at least $1 trillion. But what I can tell you, according to the Congressional Budget Office, $382.9 billion has been totally funded in the pages of H.R. 3684, with a caveat by the Senate, Dr. Elena, to have an unfunded amount that could be readily available at Congress's whim. So in other words, it's a blank checkbook. Now, infrastructure is supposed to mean our roads and our bridges and things like that. This is taking it to a whole new level for artificial intelligence, for data tracking like we've never seen before. And of course, we know it's off the charts now. And this has everything to do with putting economy one more time over education. Now, people are going to say, well, this has nothing to do with education. It absolutely does, because it goes along that communistic, Naziistic, Marxist model of competency-based, skill-based education and the jobs, supposedly, that this particular bill, once it becomes law, will promise, will take and align every level of education for every citizen to either be trained in a workforce situation or retrained in some workforce situation. It will expand the federal government through agencies, set up new offices. It will also destroy our tax structure as we know it.
So all of these people who keep talking about equity and equality and diversity, this is actually the opposite. You're telling me, not how I'm interpreting it, is that someone's going to get to decide what you are in the future, who you are, how much money you can make, what level in society you're allowed to reach. Am I right? Because that seems to be how the communist system works,
right,
historically.
Right. And we've talked about this on several shows, Dr. Elena, but this is really going to hyper-focus on the tech and innovation, because after all, you can't have blockchain and Bitcoin and artificial intelligence rule over you unless you are hooked into that system. Mm-hmm. It is also going to use tech and innovation against us to be able to track us and attach us to the UN-led global World Economic Forum blockchain that is being set up. Now, it's also going to take pilot programs such as a per mileage gas tax or vehicle tax, because what is supposed to be happening, because gas is so evil and destroying our planet, we have to get rid of gas-powered engines and we have to get rid of gas-powered cars. So let's electrify everything. Forget the fact that electricity takes water, which is one of our most valuable resources, and squanders it. But no, let's not think about that. Let's think about, oh, we're being green because we ditched the gas, but we're taking the electric car. But the point of it is no matter what kind of vehicle, this pilot program from a federal and a state level would tax you for every mile that you drive. And we've seen this happen in other countries. Britain, for example, has this in place right now, and it is to discourage personal choice to get in your car and drive to where the heck you want to, or even go to work. It's encouraging public transportation that is under the government's thumb.
Well, it's insidious. It's evil, quite frankly.
Right.
And under the guise of protecting us and protecting humanity and nature, it's actually doing the opposite. And we're going to take a break because I really want to talk about in more detail the fact that you're chained to your home. This is not like you're going to have freedom of movement. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with the Common Core diva, Miss Lynn Taylor. Prior to the break, we were talking about this gas tax, and everything sounds so benign, but it seems to me that this whole 2 years that we've been living under lockdowns of some sort is a preview to this. You don't get to go and travel freely. I mean, there's legislation proposed in Congress that you can't travel domestically without specific IDs for the V word, which, you know, we're trying not to say on the show this day because you don't want to be censored. But this is all just building and building. And ultimately, what's the goal, in your opinion?
To make America the best member state of the UN that we could possibly be, to strip our American freedoms and rights that we somehow still are hanging on to by a thread and replace them with the common collectiveness of the United Nations for their global peace and prosperity rock.
Well, you mentioned before the break, blockchain and digital currency goes along with that. And I'm sure this is all about the fourth industrial revolution and the new reset that they keep trying to foist on us.
Right.
But let's go deeper, because in order for us to go along with this system, which is so anti-human, is education being used to assimilate children into this system? If they don't know what good is, they can never complain, can they?
Well, exactly. And yes, education was the chief change agent chosen by the United Nations and has heavily influenced every entity that has some sort of relationship with the UN. That means our corporations and our unions and even our government. So yes, absolutely. But education was chosen because they knew, Dr. Elena, you have to shape the attitudes, values, and beliefs through the social and emotional manipulation, what they call learning, to be that so that they can't recognize what's America. They can't recognize what are family values. They can't recognize that, no, I shouldn't do everything the government tells me, that I need to sometimes stand up and fight for my family or fight for myself. They're not taught any of this. And this has been going on well before in the past 2 years. This has been going on for decades. And, you know, it's just getting so much worse because every administration that we've seen has been allowed to get away with treason, with criminal activity, crimes against our nation and its citizens. And at some point, and maybe that's something that's could come out of this, is that, you know, this is the time where someone says, you know, enough. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to hold those who are supposed to represent me accountable. That's why we're seeing so many parents get angry, and they should. They have every right to be angry. They don't have the right for the FBI to come and tell them, you can't speak your mind, because that is a repression or oppression, excuse me, of your First Amendment rights.
I think there's a lot of bluffing going on and color of law stuff happening with mandates, with threatening people that they're going to become domestic terrorists or be on a list if they talk in favor of their child's education and freedom. I'm not sure it's de facto, not de jure, right?
Right, so, right, absolutely. But let me point out one thing, Dr. Elena, before we move on. Mm-hmm. As far as the list of domestic terrorism, okay, when that terrible Patriot Act was passed into legislation after that horrible time that we lived through in 2001, so many regular citizens were, by no fault of their own, stuck on a domestic terrorist watch list because they happened to be outspoken, or they happened to want to stand up for their gun rights, or maybe they wanted to stand up for their healthcare choice, or maybe they wanted to homeschool. Mm-hmm. And so that list has grown by leaps and bounds, so that now when we have people who are rightly fighting back and saying no to tyranny, they're now being told, well, you might just be considered a domestic terrorist. And if so, you have to be managed. Are you kidding me? This is an out and out assault on not only your God-given right to exist freely, but this is places that our government has never decided to ever go with us. We didn't have this happen when AIDS was trotted out. We didn't have this happen when there was, several other calamities that happened. We didn't have this happen after 9/11. But why now? Because it fits the narrative for the reset.
Well, that reset I think, requires us to be docile and to be compliant and to voluntarily censor and corral ourselves. That's really what's happened. And I applaud the parents and the teachers who are standing up, who know what's right, and who before the last show that we did, and it's come out in full force that all the pornography that's being taught in schools and the school boards sanctioning it and parents finally waking up and putting their foot down. It's an assault, as you said before, on the family, and it's assault on the individual.
Right. And one of the reasons why we're seeing this is because if you have the government take the parents and distract them with things like work, who's going to raise the children? It's going to be the government. And where else have we seen this play out? Nazi Germany.
So all of these movements towards keeping your child in school longer, starting school age earlier with Head Start. Like you never have, the parent just loses them as soon as they're born, essentially.
Right.
Until they're an adult.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you asked me, you sent me 10 questions and I'm looking at what we've already covered just in the few minutes that we've been on and what we still have to go. And I just wanted to point out that one of the reasons why we're seeing this infrastructure misused like it is again to be kind of the government operates in a marketing strategy. They have X marketing advertisement gurus come in and they come up with these names of bills. So it sounds like one thing, but it's doing the polar opposite. For example, infrastructure is supposed to be about your road and your bridges. And as I said earlier, this is not about just roads and bridges. It's the platform by which they are adjusting everything, but it's going way further than roads and bridges. I mean, we're talking control of our water. We're talking about control of how we live, how we drive, what we drive. You're talking about total control of how you think and what you say. And again, total assault on our constitutional rights, but more so a total assault on our God-given rights.
Well, that's in that system, God is a problem because people are free thinking and they have choice. This system is not based on choice. And I wanted to revisit one of the questions I did have for you about, you said there's data collection being used in the education system. What's the data and how are they getting it? Is it giving up voluntarily by the kids?
Absolutely not. No, because everything, especially under the name of COVID, had to go online for all this online learning and all this other kind of garbage, but this was happening before and it was in the algorithm. So the programs were being written so that whatever response Johnny or Susie had to the computer in the name of education, the computer would log it. It's then turned into what has been in practice for at least 5 years, and that's the student longitudinal data system that tells the education system everything about your child that you know, and it also includes information maybe you didn't know, like how some of their assessments went. But then that marries up with the Department of Labor's Workforce Quality Data Initiative, which also data mines from a job perspective. And the two are married, much like a man and a woman. And that information is used, Dr. Elena, to customize a career track. So that's what you will be doing from cradle to grave. This is why we're seeing so much of the apprenticeships and the pre-apprenticeships now, instead of being just for higher education or high school, we're seeing them pop up as early as elementary school. Because, we've heard the talking idiots out of DC go, at some point we're going to look at them by the time they're in second grade and we're going to be able to tell them where exactly they're going to be. And this is what we're seeing play out. So we were given a warning and a lot of people were sounding that bell, but a lot of others who were listening didn't hear the bell, but they're hearing it now.
It's sad because they use the emotions against people, the biggest victim. We need diversity. And in actuality, they're pigeonholing people based on
right,
economic status, based mm-hmm. on race, based on sex, and people are falling into the trap. But I hope you're right, that people are waking up and parents are waking up. And these public-private partnerships, I think it seems that's the underpinning where that you follow the money. Someone's getting rich off of it. It reminds me of the AG's son, who has a company that makes the CRT curriculum, right?
Right.
So, oh my gosh, is there a conflict of interest in that? This guy's making more money than you can shake a stick at.
Well, and I understand, but look at Betsy DeVos. She and her family made tons of profit off of the personal private student data that is being used to pigeonhole your child. So there's another conflict of interest that went totally unpunished. This is why we have got to fight back. Now, once this particular bill goes into law, and I hope that they have enough differences that, you know, it keeps them there a while, but, you know, that gives we the people more time to say, wait a minute, mm-hmm. no, we don't want this. Because what you're going to see is you're going to see that the cost, you know, is going to skyrocket. Remember, it's that open checkbook. It starts at $1 trillion and goes up. You're going to see that government-sanctioned workforce prep, okay, what we know as skill-based education. And this was a quote that I used one time. And here's what I said. With government-sanctioned workforce prep, soon every day will be a laboring day. So we don't need to set aside one day of the year to say, oh, goody, I have a job. And let's face it, the government doesn't give you a job. The school shouldn't give you a job. You should have a job because it's what God has provided you to help support your family, not your government going, this is what you must do for us.
Well, it should be your talents. I mean, so that it's right. not slavery. It's actually something that you
well,
enjoy
this is
doing.
And this is all indentured servitude, which we have a constitutional amendment against indentured servitude.
Yeah, we do. And it's people are so distracted with survival at this point. They've done a wonderful job from an emotional standpoint of literally beating people down so that they're so afraid and distracted and anxious right. that they just want somebody, which is, I think, the main problem. You want right. someone to fix it for you. Get up on your hind legs and stop depending yeah. on the government or some other entity to do it. You have to do it for you and your family. On that note, let's take our second break. You're Living in the Solution.
If you miss Living in the Solution, you can catch it on drelainagegeorge.com, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and a host of multimedia platforms. You can follow our On Positive Solutions on Telegram and Living in the Solution on Facebook. Subscribe and share it with your friends. You're listening to Living in the Solution with Dr. Lena George, Consumer Healthcare Advocate.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, and you should go to her website, commoncorediva.com, and you can find her blogs. You can listen to shows that she's interviewed on, and it's a wealth of knowledge. And everything that you do, Lynn, I know you do your research, and you're kind enough to put it out there so people can give us some shortcuts so that we can actually join your party, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that shout out. And I just wanted to say, you know, I do it as a labor of love, but I have people who ask me to come on. I have people who ask me to go speak in person, and that does take money. And so I do have a donate button on my website. So if anyone feels so led as to financially bless my work, that would be wonderful. And if not, you know, prayer support is something we all need.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Also, talking about the public-private partnerships, it just seems to me mm-hmm. that the government bribes people constantly with grants and freebies. You know, nothing's free, right?
Oh, so, absolutely.
These community grants and these things that make people stand down, is it really you get to do what you want, or are you now beholden to the hand that feeds you?
Oh, are you kidding me? With the government, nothing is ever just freely given. There will be a price to pay. If it's not through some sort of enlarged taxation scheme, like is built into this particular infrastructure bill that we are discussing, it'll be a pound of flesh. And that would be that, you know, you go and you work it off for the government because they're expanding government at breakneck speeds so that there's national control And one more time, the states are going, oh, but there's all this money that you can give me. And, oh, I need this money. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the states sold us out eons ago the minute they took the first federal dollar, which is, in essence, our tax dollars. But what we're seeing happen is that because there is such a shift for public-private partnerships, Dr. Elena, we're seeing that now the government is writing legislation to have it so that, okay, the federal government is going to come in and they're going to have part of the funding, which is our taxpayer dollars. Then we, the people, have to cough up some more. Oh, but then, by the way, here's Johnny's corporation over here, and we're going to let Johnny be able to invest in this as well. Nothing in our Constitution ever allowed for this kind of garbage. It was supposed to be a limited government with representation and decent taxation, even if that was even supposed to be there, okay? It's gotten way out of hand. But what we're going to see with this infrastructure bill is that the control over the nation will mean more government compliance, as in what we're seeing play out right now. And let me just add to that, whether it's legal or not is not even asked or considered right now. It's just de facto, okay? Mm-hmm. Mandates, policies, executive orders, none of these are legal. None of them are binding. Only the law is, and the law is centered on your freedom, okay? But you're going to have government compliance. You're going to expand the federal power. You're going to see your taxes increase. You're even going to see that they are seeking political subdivisions in the name of infrastructure, Dr. Elena, to be able to gather more data. Because after all, we don't see our government dividing us enough. Now we're going to see them come in and say, oh, yes, we need certain political subdivisions to weigh in on what's going on. Like you're really going to have a say in what goes on? They've already made up their minds what's going on. They're just putting you through the motions that you think you're going to have a say.
It's a complete scheme. It's a scam as well. Mm-hmm. And when you think about this money, all this money that you just described that has been pre-allocated and the blank check, that money never gets to the source it's supposed to. I always wonder why the government gives all these states and the local municipalities or whatever money, but the kids never have money for books. They're, you know, the infrastructure in the school really kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. Where does that money go? I understand, too, that the school boards are not going to be beholden to parents because it seems like they're getting their palms greased from a different source.
Well, so, from some of the funding streams that I have seen, it goes to entities that can double dip, which is also illegal. For instance, if you have a child who is using the school and they receive some sort of Medicaid funding or Title I funding, there are some funding streams where you can double dip into that system, not only through Title I, but through Medicaid as well. So you're paying for the same service twice. We also see, especially in an infrastructure bill like this, a lot of the money is supposed to hit you in the front. Where it's hitting you is in what they call the tech support or the technical support. That's where they have to make sure that all your computers are talking with each other and all this data harvesting is going on. So that's where a lot of it goes. We also just see pure government waste. But again, that's not new. But I want to point out grants and bonds are two of the biggest schemes that our government uses at every level. Bonds are deferred taxation. You're not going to pay for it right now, but you will later, and your children will, and their children will. I mean, my city, for example, doesn't hesitate to put millions of dollars of bonds on a ballot, and they'll trot out just enough information for you to think, oh, this is a good thing I have to support. This is going to mean more textbooks for Johnny and Susie. This is going to mean more social services for Johnny and Susie's dad. But what happens is they don't tell you that all the strings that come with the bonds or the grants, especially from the federal department, because I'm going to tell you, if you look at the strings between the different unconstitutional federal agencies that are listed in this infrastructure bill, you would just be absolutely surprised. You have not only the Department of Education. The main breadwinner in this particular infrastructure bill will be the Department of Transportation. Okay. You're also going to see your Veterans Affairs, your Department of Labor, your Department of Agriculture, your Department of Health and Human Services, and so on and so on. You're going to see the Federal Trade Commission come in, the Federal Communications Commission come in and have jurisdiction over what goes on in your neighborhood, in your home, in your family, in your community, in your state. Now, answer me this, and this is a trick question. Of the agencies I just named, how many are constitutional?
Probably none of them.
None of them. Not a blasted one. So what is this telling us? We're seeing government act like it has the authority and we're allowing it. If someone, especially one of our elected officials, would pop up and say, you know what, this is an unconstitutional federal agency and we don't need to take their money. Yeah, it's going to take more than one person and it's going to take more than one agency, because we need to understand that just like the unconstitutionality of the Department of Education, people are saying, well, you know, we'll go in and we'll just shut it down and all our problems will be solved. Well, no, they won't. They'll be transferred to other departments that are just as unconstitutional. So again, the lesson we can learn from this is if we're going to fight back, we have to do it in numbers. We have to have a consistent voice. We have to have a group that's more than just one or two people. And we have to use the law. We cannot use mainstream media. We cannot use opinion. We have to use the law.
So it sounds like you need to enter the court system. You need to bring cases, sue people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see there's a school board that's being sued for millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Virginia. Is that a strategy that people should start looking into?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the American Policy Center has a whole report on using a certain part of the Civil Rights Act of 1981, I believe it is, section 1983 in that particular one. And it tells you, look, the best course of action, if anyone wants to infringe on your personal property, on your personal choice of life, on anything that has to do with your freedom of just being an American, you don't sue the company. You don't sue the school board. You sue every individual on that school board, every individual in that town government, every individual in that corporation, because they are the ones who are creating personal injury. And that's where a lot of people are missing it. Mm. Yeah, it's going to make a lot of news to go sue the school board, but guess what? The school board will have the backing of several pro-Common Core groups behind it, which means there will be more money than you have to get lawyers to fight back. So this is why I'm saying you have to make it personal. They, by God, did. So why are you not?
That sounds, I totally understand that. And it gets them to be really put them on the defense. When it's personal and they're coming after your personal money and your wealth, and you get outed as being, hey, I started off as a pauper, now I've got a ton of bucks. Where does that come from? It actually probably opens the door to ask questions about you personally standing to gain from your choices. It's not because you love the children. It's not because you want them to be educated. It's because you're getting paid somehow, or you're getting some benefit that unfortunately works against the entire country and actually the entire world, if you really want to think about it.
Right.
And I do have a question about the UN. Are they somehow embedded in this? I don't think this is organic. It doesn't feel organic.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cackle like that. But anyway, speaking of the dreaded UN, they are all in this. Of course they are, because every bit of this, Dr. Elena, is lockstep in line with the sustainable development goals for a greener nation, which is a bunch of poppycock. Because if you look at the solar panels, if you look at a lot of the stuff that is attached to this, you're killing your environment more than you're helping it. If you look at the wind turbines, you know, they're killing, they're killing landscapes, they're killing creatures, and they're falling apart, and they cannot break down in a landfill, so they just are buried. What is that going to do to the soil? It's going to contaminate it. So you've got all these idiotic things that are being done in the name of being politically correct, and it's doing more harm. It's causing more division than it is unity. And, you know, supposedly this is why this infrastructure bill is even being considered. This is why the United Nations is looking so rosy, because they're screaming unity. But look at the way in which they're doing it, through de facto rule, through control, through iron fist legislation, through coercion, through just being total tyrants. There's nothing unifying about it. But that's exactly what is going on, is this is a way to, if we haven't already had enough kicking the can down the road for America to become a United Nations member as opposed to a free nation, this bill, this law, once it's created as a law, will absolutely seal the deal.
On that note, people need to think about what you just said, and let's come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with the Common Core Diva, Ms. Lynn Taylor. And again, go to your her website, commoncorediva.com. You know, before the break, this is ingenious in a sick way, but it plays on the frailties of humanity, of people wanting not to make a wave. And I think if people, if they have more of a connection with God, this would not be going down. Because man, God is in control of everything, not man. And so they don't have the answer. These people who never held, most of them, never held a job, never had to make payroll, never had to get out and work a hard day in their life, telling you that they care about you and that they know the best way to handle things. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I love the fact that you gave solutions to parents and anybody who's has a child in this system. I don't think you can hope for the best. I mean, it's a damaging system. Either your child is going to be made to feel or physically put in harm's way with these masks and these mandates and these physical and emotional gulag that they're kind of in. Or if they're college age students, they're not learning anything. They're just taking people's money and telling you should like it. So from a, we talked about it before, but I want to revisit it quickly. Can the parents disengage from this system? Is there any way that they can, I know homeschooling is difficult. Unless you're a teacher, you really know what the hell you're doing. It's kind of difficult. Because it's not a joke, right? My mom was a teacher. No. You're a teacher. You better have some skills in order to teach children.
Right. No.
But is there anybody, any system that you know outside of this parallel where parents who have to work, there's pods they can send their children to, and there's teachers who've opted out and care about what they do, who can take over? Is anything like that happening?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because yes, you can escape. Yes, there are pods, but here's the thing. The pods are being used as a public school expansion in almost every state under the name of COVID relief. And every state in the union received money for their education system to create public school extensions. And so, you know, this brings up another thing. This is not going to be, as you said, this is not going to be just in K through 12. This will be in higher education. But in this infrastructure bill, higher education will be used, or some of the services that will go through the higher education system will be used as tools against your community to do one thing, and that is to conform to the mandates and policies that are in this infrastructure bill in the name of supposed improvement and investment. But you also need to understand that this particular bill or law will have what's called a Community Anchor Institute. Now, what those are, The Federal Communications Commission defined what a community anchor institute is, and you can find this definition with FCC 11-161. And what it tells you is that schools, libraries, any part of your healthcare system, from a private practice onto a hospital or any supporting medical service, public safety, community services, nonprofits, all are being used in this infrastructure bill as hubs, Dr. Elena. Are you ready for it?
No, but tell me.
Yeah, for internet access for all, because we have to be digitally equitable.
What does that mean?
It means everybody has to be hooked up, because, honey, if you're not hooked up, how are they going to track you? And we've seen this in the name of COVID. We have seen school boards receive some of this money from the American Relief Act, the American Family Plan, and the CARES Act. And we need to understand that both Trump and Biden were behind both of those. Okay, so it's not just one political party doing all the damage, okay? But the point of it is schools got money to go check up on not only Johnny and Susie at home during COVID, but Johnny and Susie's family. And do you have enough to eat? And do you have enough medical supplies? And do you have enough of what you need to have from school? Because if not, well, we're from the government and we're here to help.
I think that's just the foot in the door, but I can see, you know, down the road, the medical side of this, the tyrannical side of this, mm-hmm. if you don't toe the line in how you, you know, medically, how you access the medical system, getting shots, et cetera, that could actually play a role in getting your child taken away.
It's already happening. It is already happening. And, you know, under our previous administration, under the Every Student Succeeds Act, we had an ambassador program start up. It was an American Family Ambassador. And these Department of Education employees, Dr. Elena, would come to your home. And they would assess your entire family, not just on how they lived, how they spoke to each other, what kind of conditions you lived in, all these other things that are none of the government's business. And they would say, okay, well, based on the federal government's outcome, you know, you're not measuring up. And here are all the things we're going to do to make you measure up. Now, this was done under the guise of Johnny and Susie being able to succeed in the classroom. Are you kidding me? No, this was an open attempt to get into the home, to micromanage, because according to our federal government, parents only have one responsibility, and that is to birth the child. The rest of it will be under their jurisdiction so that they can nannyfy the state, so that they can control how Johnny and Susie are brought up, so that Johnny and Susie don't fit the mold that God made for them. They fit the government's mold assigned to them.
Well, isn't this the Marxist model that you've got the people who the haves and the people who are special and everybody else? So you have to engineer this gap. There's no free movement. There's no you work hard and you do well. That's it's mm-hmm. genetic. It's your station in life, and mm-hmm. you don't have access or options to do anything else. So if that's the baseline, they're trying to say everybody's the same. When are people going to wake up and figure this out? You're not going to be driving Mercedes, etc. You're going to be working 7 days a week, living in a 400 square foot house, probably in the dark because you can't, you know, using electricity is bad.
And God help you if you eat beef.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. You might actually be eating some manufactured synthetic beef. I mean, the whole system is just completely, I mean, you can't have meat. Imagine the caloric intake. You're so exhausted because you're anemic that you can't fight. I mean, some sort of bad sci-fi.
You know, here's the thing, though. In God's word, he clearly set out, I give you every living beast and I give you every flowering plant. God provided meat and vegetables, my dear. And it's man's constriction that is saying, oh, we suddenly know that cows farting are bad for the environment, so therefore you can't eat cow. Are you kidding me?
But you leave out one thing. They're having steaks and Kobe beef, etc.
I know.
While you're eating God
but
knows
that's,
what.
Yeah, and that's the point, because you are controlled. And that's exactly what is going on. And, you know, people are going to sit here and probably think that both you and I are really off our rockers. And that's okay. Because if we don't do anything but point someone to where to look, you know, we've done our job.
You don't know what you don't know. And I think people are not happy with, they don't know why, some of them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody's sitting here, most people are like, this is awesome. We're living, you know, the high life right now. Then people are really, they're just dismayed. They are hopeless. The suicide rate is insanely high. Mm-hmm. But I think at some point you have to just, you have to make a choice. This is a choice.
Right.
This is biblical, quite frankly.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I recently was talking with marriage and family counselor, and it was brought up that we are in what's known as a trauma-induced society. And by and large, that's been kicked up since 9/11, but it kind of died back down. Everybody got a little more comfortable. But here we are back again, and we've been put through so much that we're not questioning, that of course we're walking around trembling and going, what in the world is going on? And how am I going to get out of this? But we need to understand that part of the Great Reset, you're not going to get out of it. You're going to have to live through it. But part of the Great Reset centers on the World Economic Forum and the United Nations with their sustainable development mantra, that the number one goal of the sustainable development goals is that there's no poverty. So your example a minute ago about, you know, we'll be eating steak and all driving Mercedes, that's what people instantly jump to. We're all going to be rich. We're all going to have something. And if you look at the platform from the leader of the World Economic Forum, he clearly stated, by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy about it.
Exactly. You'll like it, is what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he's living a whole different standard. It's the most morally and ethically corrupt group of people I have ever witnessed.
Yeah.
And they will not win. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, there's more of us than there are of them. And as long as we choose to acquiesce, they win.
Either we stop
playing the game, withdraw your consent. We have talents. We have our minds, we have healthy bodies, some of us, hopefully more down the road, and we need to take our power back and withdraw our consent. Now, I know we spoke about, and I want to have, this is like a part one, because we have to discuss blockchain and the rest of that, because I think that's, as you said before, I think it's the underpinning of how they bring it in.
Yeah.
How would they know what you are, where you are, what you're thinking, unless they have some method of being able to get every piece of information about you, coming and going.
Right.
And well, that's one of the ways, right?
Right. Well, your smartphone is a big clue. Your smart appliances, your smart car, your smart Fitbit that biometrically data mines you to hell and back. Those are just the precursors. Those are just the precursors. There's going to be more. But let me bring up one thing that kind of plays into this poverty part of what we're talking about, Dr. Elena.
We only have a half a minute, so.
Oh, no. Okay. Wait. Okay. We need to be watching for, we can pick this up in part two. Historically underused business zones and a 25% or less poverty rate. We will start with that the next time.
I think that's a great place to start. And that's a teaser. So people need to come and listen to your second show. So in the minutes that we have left, how can people reach you and read your work?
CommonCoreDiva.com.
And you have the Liberty Bells as well, right?
Yes. And we are having to take a little bit of a break because my co-host's mother is not doing very well and facing a long road of recovery. You can also find me on Breaking News Journal on Roku and Amazon. You can find me on the usual social media platforms. And just thank you for your support.
Thank you so much, Lynn. I can't wait for our second interview. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Right. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.